Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus commands us, his covenant people, who love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. He also orders us to love our neighbors as ourselves. But we all know that no sinner has perfectly kept this command. Thankfully, Jesus Christ has obeyed the law perfectly. Nevertheless, as covenant people of God, as the new creation in Christ, we are still required to strive to obey this command out of thankfulness, even though we are imperfect. Brothers and sisters, how would you describe the extent or the level of your love for God and others? Maybe you have a very little love for God and your neighbor. Perhaps you have a lot of love for God and your neighbor. However, great or small your love is, unfortunately, it will never be enough. That is the precise reason why we need God's love and forgiveness constantly. The story in our text this morning is all about love and forgiveness. Love for God, forgiveness from God. Luke used the story as an illustration of the association of Jesus with sinners. But the main point in it is a slightly different one. The central feature in the story, as brought out in the parable of the two debtors, is a contrast between the love shown by the woman to Jesus and the lack of love shown by Simon the Pharisee, as evidenced by the varying measures of generosity shown by them to Jesus Christ. Before we look into the story for details, we need to mention some important information about the story. Firstly, this story is not a repetition of the story of the woman anointing Jesus found in the book of Matthew, Mark, and John. There are some differences between these stories, though both hosts are named Simon. The Simon in this story is a critical Pharisee, but the Simon in the other story is a cleansed leper. In the book of Luke, the house is in Galilee. But in the other gospel books, the other story takes place in Bethany near Jerusalem. Secondly, the woman in this story is a sinful, likely a prostitute. Well, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, is not. This story takes place in the early ministry of Jesus, while the other takes place just before the crucifixion. The woman in this story anoints Jesus' feet, while the woman in the other story anoints Jesus' head. Finally, the woman in this story is a sinner, while the woman in the other incident is someone who wasted the money that could have been given to the poor. So this story differs from the anointing oil mentioned in the other gospel's account. Nevertheless, as the story unfolds, you will realize that this story not only answers the question, who is this man, Jesus? But also demonstrates the results of true forgiveness from our compassionate God. This result is a deep and profound love for Jesus and having a right heart in worship. Therefore, I preach to you under this theme. Much love comes from much forgiveness. Under this theme, we have 3 points. At the first point, Jesus, the woman, and the Pharisee. At the second point, the parable of the two debtors. At the last point, love as seen in acts of honor. Now the first point, Jesus and the woman and the Pharisees. Our story began in verse 36 when Jesus was invited over for dinner one evening by Simon, a Pharisee. We all know that Pharisees do not accept Jesus, the Son of God, as our Savior. They do not think he is a prophet from God either. They accuse him of being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. They believe that if Jesus is truly a prophet of God, he would only be friends with righteous people like them. Now it's likely that this Pharisee invited Jesus to dinner to learn more about him. Perhaps the Pharisee was curious about the miracles that Jesus performed and about his teachings about the kingdom of God. The Pharisees may also have wanted to see for themselves if these claims about Jesus were valid or not. But it is also possible that the Pharisees were tempting Jesus. He may have been looking for information to make further accusations against him. It's also possible that he was searching for evidence to justify his insight that Jesus was not a prophet from God. Whatever the motivation of the Pharisee really was, he extended the invitation and Jesus accepted. In fact, we can learn some beautiful things about our Lord Jesus from this story. He was willing to show kindness and courtesy, and even to those who were his enemies. In the same way, God reconciled us to himself through Christ, even when we were still his enemies. Think of the privilege this Pharisee had. A tremendous privilege in that it was granted to him to have the Son of God in human flesh reclined at his table, sharing a meal with him in his home. And yet, he was among those who opposed him. How gracious Jesus is even to those who do not believe him, even hate him and persecute him. Jesus did not hesitate to accept this Pharisee's invitation to dinner. After all, he was the savior of sinners like tax collectors, religious leaders. Likewise, we can and should follow Jesus' example quite literally. We know good and upbuilding discussions often take place while sharing a meal. So we should step outside of our comfort zone and to extend an invitation to a neighbor, a coworker, a classmate, or perhaps even a stranger. We are told that Jesus reclined at the table. People at that time did not around a table perched on chairs, the way we do today. Children were probably not told to sit up straight or to get their elbows off the table. That's because in Luke's day, reclined at the table means that the guests were arranged around a very low table, leaning on their left arm, which was supported on a cushion, reclined to eat with their right hand. Their feet were stretched out behind them, and there was some space between their feet and the wall, so that those who served the various dishes could put food to the table for them. When special guests were coming to the house for dinner, an open door policy is usually in place. Neighbors in the town could come and listen to the dinner conversation. The social customs also allowed needy people to partake of some of the leftovers. Large crowds would gather specially when a noted rabbi was in attendance. Verse 37 informs us that an unexpected visitor crashes the party. While Jesus is reclining at the table, eating and talking with other guests, a woman from the crowd of onlookers approaches him. This woman is a notorious sinner, and everyone knows she is a sinner. Many people believe that she was a person so immoral that everyone knew of her sexuality. Though the scriptures do not tell us this, it seems that this is why she was known, because of her sin. She knew that Simon would be upset to see her in his house, but she wanted openly to express her love for Jesus. She was willing to endure public humiliations to do it. This woman longed to be in the presence of Jesus above anything else. What she does is entirely out of ordinary. When she learned that Jesus was eating at Simon's house, she brought an alabaster flask of perfume with her. She went into Simon's house and stood behind Jesus at his feet. He was crying. She was crying. She wasn't crying quietly, shedding a silent tear or two, but she was crying loudly because her tears were wetting Jesus' feet. Imagine how much crying is required to wet the feet of someone near you. She poured out all you on Jesus' feet, untied her hair, and wiped his feet with her own hair. Anointed them with all you she had brought with her. As she wept, she kissed Jesus' feet repeatedly. Her behavior was deemed unacceptable by Simon and his guests. A decent woman would never do such a thing, never mind the fact that she had ruined the party. An uninvited woman joins a formal party of men only. Mind you, this is not just any woman, but a woman of repute. Simon seemed to know her. Or better said, she knew of her poor reputation. Because of the woman's appalling behavior, she would not have been allowed to stay if Jesus had not stepped in to speak for her. If he had not let her do these things, Simon would probably have kicked her out of his house. His guest would have applauded him for his actions. Why was this sinful woman so brave? Because she was so grateful. Do you thank Jesus and the work he does for you? Do you show your gratitude with praise and thanksgiving? This woman did not care what anyone else thought. He wasn't embarrassed at all. She only cared about how pleased God, and she worshiped Jesus by her action. It is a beautiful act of love and an incredible act of humility. To the proud host, the Pharisee, the woman's conduct was a disaster, like a loose bull trampling the food at the table. However, Jesus accepted the woman's worship, and this worship stunned Simon. You see, we often love Jesus too little, but we can never love him too much. Jesus Christ is expecting us to worship him. Now let's look at the reaction of Simon the Pharisee. Instead of being emotionally moved by this woman and her love and gratitude, he becomes more indifferent. He scorned what he saw. Simon did not care about this woman at all. He wasn't moved at all by this woman's love for Jesus. To Simon, the Pharisee, this woman was a notorious and a shameless sinner. In verses 39, Simon says to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." In Simon's opinion, this behavior completely discredits Jesus. So he thought that he indeed knew who Jesus was. He was certainly that he was not from God. If Jesus were a prophet sent from God, he would not have let this happen. He would have known that this woman was a wicked sinner. Simon was like many members of the church in our time. He did what he usually does according to tradition. He invited Jesus into his home, but he did not respect him as a spiritual leader. He did not even treat him as an equal. He just looked at Jesus with judgment. Simon wasn't openly hostile to Jesus, but he wasn't openly loyal to him either. He did not realize that he was spiritually bankrupt. He was distracted by the sin unfolding in his dining room. A sinful woman is kissing and anointing the feet of a man who is considered a prophet. In Simon's opinion, this is absolutely inappropriate. Simon did not know that Jesus actually knew who this woman was and what kind of woman she was. Simon also did not realize that Jesus was God and knew all the thoughts of man, because he knew what Simon was thinking. Jesus decided to tell Simon a parable. This leads us to the second point, the parable of the two debtors. Jesus would not let Simon's judgment go unchallenged, even his silent judgment. Jesus was presumably sitting in the seats of honor at the right hand of the master. So Jesus turned to Simon on the left and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." It's almost like a question asking permission to speak freely. "Say it, teacher," Simon replied. So Jesus begins to tell a parable to illustrate a point. The parable goes like this. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owned 500 denarii, and other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? So a simple story, a straightforward question, and a straight answer. But did you notice how cautious and disturbed Simon was when he answered Jesus' question? Jesus' question is, which of them will love him more? And Simon replied in verse 43, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." What do you mean by "I suppose"? It is a straightforward question. Either Simon was cautious, or he was trying to appear indifferent, or more likely he knew too well what the parable meant. But he did not want to answer directly, lest the story be used against him. But he also did not want to give the wrong answer, lest he be embarrassed and lose his face in front of his guests. So he said, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the more massive debt." Jesus replies, "You have judged rightly." We can think of this as an intentional play on words. Notice that Jesus used the word "judge." Isn't this Simon's problem? He had always been judgmental and condemning towards others rather than the loving, forgiving attitude of Christ. Simon had been wrongly judging others. So when he gave the correct answer to Jesus' question, Jesus' response was not without irony. His parable explained the woman's odd behavior. It encourages Simon and his guests to look at the incident from a whole new angle. Jesus' parable is about two debtors. One man's debt was 10 times greater than the others. Both were forgiven their debts. The Greek root word for cancel means grace, mercy, or compassion. In today's world, we can certainly understand the bondage that financial debt can cause, and how nice it will be to pay off that debt. And Jesus' parable is simple. If two people's debt were canceled, the one who owned the most will be the most grateful. Obviously, he was referring to the woman standing in front of them. She had been greatly forgiven. That explains her behavior. She was overcome with gratitude. A gratitude that had always been experienced, that had already been experienced by one who had been forgiven of all her sins. Jesus knew who this woman really was, and therefore he was truly prophet of God. Jesus wanted Simon to understand that this woman was no longer the same person he had once known. She had received much forgiveness and therefore much love. She had heard the gospel, and because of the work of the Holy Spirit, she responded positively and rightly, filled with gratitude for God's salvation. Jesus' parable is sufficient to explain the woman's motivation, but he does not stop there. He also points out that Simon was not a particularly good host of hospitality. At this point, Jesus shifts the focus from the woman's amazing devotion to Simon's sinful neglect. Simon had refused the ordinary courtesies of a host to a guest that Jesus deserved. As Jesus had just said in the verse 47, "He who is forgiven little loves little." In other words, the less forgiven, the less the gratitude and love. The more forgiven, the more gratitude and love. In this story, the role of the hostess of hospitality is reversed. The woman was a more generous guest than Simon was. She had a strong sense of gratitude. Simon was rude. Simon is not impressed by the love expressed by this woman, but instead judges her. And Jesus, with an eye for scrutiny. Simon, as a Pharisee, trapped in the lukewarm mindset of judging others, was convinced that he was righteous and pleasing to God. He always maximized the faults of others and minimizes his own. He was confident that he was one of God's chosen people because he obeyed the law. We need to understand that the general call of the gospel is given to all people. That means it is given to people like the sinful woman and to self-righteous people like Simon the Pharisee. But those who feel they do not need the forgiveness cannot accept the payment for sin that Jesus won for those when he died on the cross. Before Simon could realize his sin, he had to undergo a radical change. He had to understand God's law in a whole new way. The law accuses him of failing to live up to God's standards of holiness. Simon's sin had to be dealt with, ironically. The man who was to accomplish this on the cross was standing right in front of him in that very moment. The Pharisees believed that the law, which they called Torah, brought life. Jesus knew that this belief was completely wrong. This is not what God wanted the law to do. The function of God's law was to point out a man's sin. It stimulates people to seek God's forgiveness and grace in and through his Son. The law condemns us to death, but the gospel of Christ raises us to life. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul said there, "I have been crucified with Christ. The law of diagnosis our problem. The gospel of Christ delivers us the cure. This brings us the last point. Love seen in acts of honor. Rather than judging the woman as Simon did, Jesus turns the judgment on Simon through three comparisons. Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You give me no water. And she was wiped my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You give me no kiss. But from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment." Jesus contrasted Simon's behavior as host of hospitality with a sinful woman's loving behavior. He mentions the three things that Simon failed to do while the woman honored Jesus in those same three things. These three things that Jesus mentioned were standard practices of hospitality that should have been in place that day. These were simple hospitality practices of washing his feet, greeting him with a kiss, and anointing his head with oil. When Jesus pointed out that Simon did not provide these things, he wasn't complaining about Simon's lack of manners. He wanted Simon to know that something was wrong with his heart. On the other hand, the sinful woman honored Jesus because her heart was filled with love. She worshipped his feet with her tears. She anointed him with the balm she brought with her. Her case was by no means a formality, but a sincere and humble case of a sinner who had already been forgiven. By doing these things, this woman is actually worshiping God with her heart. Jesus wants us to understand that when our heart is filled with love for him, worship is not just about getting it right, going to the right church, or singing the right songs. It is a sincere reverence for our Savior Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. When our hearts are filled with love for him, he will be honored and will receive from us the worship he deserves. Our attention should be focused on him, not on ourselves. What is right in his eyes, we are to do, even if it seems wrong to others. Jesus' meaning isn't hard to guess, brothers and sisters. Simon's actions did not show much love at all. And yet, this sinful woman spends all her sincere love on Jesus. Now, based on this short parable, Jesus changes the object from love to forgiveness. In verse 47, he says, "Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." In verse 47, Jesus comes to a conclusion. The great and sincere love of this woman for Jesus is an indication of the forgiveness of her many sins. In contrast, Simon had a lukewarm attitude toward Jesus and a self-righteous attitude towards the woman. Jesus showed that his sin was not forgiven by God. He who has been forgiven little loves little. And the word forgiven here in Greek is a perfect tense, which means has been forgiven. This woman was not forgiven of her sin because of her love for Jesus, but because of her sin had been forgiven. And therefore, she loved Jesus very much. Before that, she must have met Jesus or heard him speak or received and experienced forgiveness. We can imagine how much Simon would have reacted to these words of Jesus. Anger. He put him at a disadvantage. It made him look like an unenthusiastic host. Why did he need forgiveness? He's not a sinner. But Jesus did not say too much about Simon's shortcomings. Now he turns and speaks directly to the sinful woman. In verse 48, Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Verse 49 tells us that the other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then in verse 50, Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." In verses from 48 to 49, Jesus turns to the woman and confirms to her once again that her sins are forgiven. This proclamation is not only for the woman, but also to teach Simon and his other guests whom Jesus is. Verse 49 of the testimony passage says, "Who is this who even can forgive us sins? Who is this Jesus who allows sinners to touch him, who was a friend of tax collectors and sinners, and who forgave the sins of man?" Jesus would like Simon and his guests and everyone else to understand this question seriously. The right answer to this question will lead to the forgiveness of their sins and the promise of eternal life. While the wrong answer and the rejecting the truth of the right answer lead to eternal separation from God. In verse 50, we see that Jesus continues to say to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Be at peace." Here, Jesus was declaring to the woman in the supreme sovereignty of God that her faith in God's promise had brought her the hope of salvation. He also blessed her as the Jews blessed each other at parting, in peace, shalom. This does not only mean peace. What incredibly peace and light filled the soul of this woman. It also means prosperity, wholeness, goodness, and blessing. Jesus welcomed her back into the fellowship, the salvation of the people of God. We can see her facing her face shining now, the tear still flow. She is forever transformed, lifted, loved. It was a wonderful dinner party. This afternoon, this morning, we began by asking how you would describe your level of love for God and others. By now, we should have an answer. According to Jesus' teaching, the degree to which you love corresponds to the degree to which you are forgiven. In today's text, the sinful woman was able to love Jesus so much and give and worship so much because she had been forgiven of her many sins. In fact, like the sinful woman, we are all guilty of many sins. It's more than we can ever pay. Poor Simon did not admit that he was a sinner like the woman he condemned. We must realize that you cannot be forgiven unless you are willing to admit that you are a sinner like all men. As a people in a covenant with God, if you are grown cold in your love for God and others, it's partially because you have forgotten that God has forgiven you. So this week, you need to start doing something to count various blessings that God has given you through His grace. Spend some time thinking about your many sins and God's great forgiveness for you in Christ. If you could really realize how much you have been forgiven, you would have so much gratitude and love that you would join together beside that sinful woman, kneel at the feet of Jesus, worship Him faithfully, and pour out your love and generosity to Him, willingly offering yourself as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ. But if you do not love God at all, just pretend that you love God by sitting in the church before man, then there is a serious problem here concerning your salvation. It's maybe just like Simon. In the first place, you have not been forgiven yet. Then as one who has received the sign of the covenant through baptism, you really should rethink what it means to you. Do not forget the promise of God has offered you as an infant. It is still true and sure to this day. Put your faith in God, for He did not send His Son to condemn the world, but He send His Son so that the world might be saved through Him. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn you or to wish for you to perish. His gracious wish is for you to repent. He is not like Simon the Pharisee. Instead, He came to love sinners like you. He came to save sinners like you. He came to forgive the sinners of people like you and me. Therefore, believe in Him, repent, and go in peace. Amen.